Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
It was, I don't know how many years it's been now since I read an article, and it was in, believe it or not, it was in Mothering Magazine. Yes, I like to read Mothering Magazine. Yeah, I was at my chiropractor's office, and I've always wondered, now this is going back probably 10 years, but I always wondered why there was so much more autism, and it seemed like, you know, the rates have gone through the roof. Has it always been there? And there was a woman who wrote an article in this magazine, and she talked about how she felt vaccinations had affected her child and led to autism. And I've looked into this, and I've read about it, and I've heard about people talking about it. And then, you know, the universe will line things up for you, and someday you might meet someone that knows a little bit about that and has gone through. And it's funny how many people locally, if you just look around in your own backyard, Tammy Krasick is from Escanaba. I don't know if you, are you originally from there, Tammy?
Yes.
And your son, Alex, he is now 15?
16 as of the 8th of
and
January.
You, first of all, you're from this area, right?
Yep.
Pretty much your whole life lived here?
I've lived here.
Yeah. And you've traveled a bit, I'm guessing, as well?
Yes.
And you've experienced a lot of things. And you also, here's another part we're going to throw in there. She's a little psychic, too.
Mm. Right? A little bit intuitive, yes.
Because we've talked about the ghost hunting things. You've done that as
yes,
well.
Yes, I have.
Right? So that's all cool. That's all stuff that people do, you know, that we talk about on my show. Nothing is really off limits. And so it's nothing to feel uncomfortable about. I think if you're in a normal setting, in a conversation, if we're on the radio, there might be that hesitancy, which I can understand. But on the internet, I don't worry about any of it. And hopefully you don't feel that you have to worry about any of that as well.
I'm not worried at all.
So tell me a little bit about your son, Alex. What is it that makes him unique? What is Alex like? Tell me about your son, if you don't mind.
Well, at this point, at 16 years old, he's mostly normal. He goes to mainstream school. He's a freshman. He's an AB student. From the outside looking in, if you just meet him, you would think he was quite normal. Spend a little bit of time with him, and you can see that he's still on the spectrum, because the autism spectrum is huge. It includes everything from, I mean, there's severe autism, which is nonverbal, needs constant care, you know, in diapers. I mean, there's that down, the heavy side of autism, and then there's on the spectrum is also the high functioning and the Asperger's and the processing sensory disorder. I would say that Alex is probably, at this point, he still has some processing disorder issues, and I wouldn't say he's high functioning autism, more Asperger's.
Can you define what Asperger's is?
Asperger's is a lesser form of autism. It's lower on the spectrum, you know, functioning, like can go to school, has friends, but maybe a little introverted, might need help getting through some things at certain ages. For example, like my son is 16, and he's probably not going to get his driver's license for a while yet. There's not enough maturity there, where most kids his age are either in driver's ed or have their license. He's not quite there.
But your son, I guess when I was asking you about, is he a loving?
Oh, absolutely.
I think he's very compassionate.
Yeah. He's very.
So he's got a lot of light in
right,
him, too.
Right, he does. And he's very sensitive to his environment. He's very intelligent in ways that are not what the average kid is intelligent about. So there's some intelligence there that is above and beyond, like our environment and what we're doing to it. And, you know, there's things there that.
Does he have some abilities like you?
Oh, absolutely.
As far as sensing,
yes.
And seeing
and
things?
And sensing.
Yeah. So these really are gifted beings that are coming to the planet to help us wake up. If you step at it back and see that, right?
Right.
And everything really serves a purpose. So it's making us aware. So now, if you don't mind, Tammy, mm-hmm. go back and describe what happened to your son and at what age and how you came to this conclusion it was connected to vaccinations.
Okay. All right. So our journey on this started very young. Well, luckily, I didn't get any vaccinations while I was pregnant. They now push flu vaccines.
Really?
They now push flu vaccines while you're pregnant, even though it says on the in the insert not to be. You should not be getting any type of vaccines while you're pregnant. But they do push that. But I didn't. When he was born, I was a breastfeeding mom. So, you know, I was under this impression that if you breastfeed, your kid's healthier.
Right.
Not going to have any problems. He was, he started getting colicky probably day two, three. I mean, he was colicky kind of from the beginning. He was vaccinated with the HBV vaccination in the hospital. That is when they give your child right in the hospital before you take them home. I was never asked permission to do that. They just assume. And of course, we're going back to a time when I was still in the dark about vaccinations. You know, I just assumed. You know, he's going to get vaccinated because that's what we do. We get told to do it, right. So we do it. So I'd say within the first 6 months, I noticed he was just sick a lot. There was colic. There was screaming. There was, runny noses. It was just, he was not a baby I could hold and touch. He wasn't sleeping much. He just seemed to be very uncomfortable and unhappy. And I thought, well, I'm breastfeeding and, you know, I'm with them all. I mean, I hug him. I want to hug him. I love him. But I'd say by 6 months old, I noticed that there was just something about his temperament that was just weird, especially. Not all babies are.
No, this is the only kid that you've had.
This is the only kid I've.
So yeah. You didn't really have a lot to compare it to,
right.
But you had other friends, I'm sure.
Yes.
And they would say,
mostly older kids, though. Mm. Most of my friends at this time had older kids. So then you go in, you know, and I get his 3 month shots and his 5 month shots and his 7 month shots, and we were battling the. There was ear infections. Sinus infections, sick all the time. And this was, you know, he was young. And then I'd have to say around a year and a half, I started wondering what was going on. And actually, we started seeing a chiropractor when he was about a year and a half. I want to say a year and a half to 2 years, because I quit vaccinating when he was just about 2 years. I was told he had to have a chicken pox vaccination in order to go to school or daycare. And, of course, I didn't know that I could opt out of that, because in Michigan you can opt out. You can just say no. We have.
It's different in every state.
Yes, right. Every state. 48 states have religious exemptions and philosophical exemptions, which means you can pretty much say no, or you can buy your religion, you know, injecting toxins into my child's, you know, body goes against my religious beliefs. Two states... I want to say it's New York and I think it's Virginia. You have to get a medical exemption by a doctor in order to opt out of vaccines. And those are the two states that have the highest autism spectrum populations. But they keep that out of the studies if you do your research.
So really there are those that don't want this to come forward.
No. So I'm going to back it back up again now to when I was kind of like starting to wonder, you know, there was this internal intuitive thing. And I was just like, you know, I wonder if maybe vaccines aren't all I'm being told they are. But on one of our chiropractic visits, our chiropractor had actually said to me, I think you should do some reading on vaccinations, because most people know chiropractors don't vaccinate.
They're very natural health, yes.
And I know that in the past, probably when Alex was, you know, because he's 16 now, back then, and I think there's been a shift in this also, because I think there is always this misconception that chiropractors didn't vaccinate just because they're, you know, I don't know what they're thinking, but they don't vaccinate. Why don't they vaccinate? But now I think more and more people are realizing they don't vaccinate for a reason, for a very good reason.
Right.
And I had a chiropractor say to me, I think you should do some research on vaccinations. Because obviously he could tell I was a little distraught about some different things with Alex's health. So I went home. And now at this time, Alex is, you know, about two. I'm going to college. I'm working part-time. And now I'm going to start doing some research. So I'm a pretty busy single mom. And I started doing some research. And back then, there wasn't as much research or as much information out there as there is now. And I started doing research to actual vaccines and what's in them.
And where do you go for research? So you just research what's in those?
Well, I think I might have typed in vaccines and dangers to start out with.
Okay.
And then you start finding different websites like the NVIC, which is the National Vaccine Information Center. They're really wonderful with giving you the ins and, you know, that it's very, very both-sided, you know. If you vaccinate, this is what you can expect. I mean, it's not just don't vaccinate. They give you
They present you options.
They present
and,
you.
And both sides of the coin,
yes.
Probably.
And then there's, you know, there's Vaccination Truth. There's the moms.org organization. I mean, you basically, all you have to type in now is vaccine dangers, and you could read for days.
Right. I'm guessing today, but back today, then,
right.
It had to be, because that was the pioneer. You're one of the pioneers.
I like to think so.
That said, something's not right. Yes. You know, in my lifetime, you hear something once, you know, if it doesn't affect you, and you kind of go, and then you hear it a second time, and you go, wait a second. And then, like I said, I let off this interview with talking about Mother and Magazine, but also around that time, there are two people I know that one was a good friend of my brother's who went to college with, and this has to go back quite a few years, and maybe around your time, maybe before, but he felt, you know, there's always that question of vaccines or something affecting kids and causing autism, and right after his kid got some kind of vaccination, he changed. And so you start to hear it, especially with people you know or somebody that knows somebody you know, and then it hits home.
And unfortunately, it's becoming so common now. Everybody knows somebody.
Do you know how many?
And it's not genetic.
How many people? What is the number? One in so many of
them? Well, right now the CDC, which, you know, they like to cover their, they cover their butts in some ways. They don't give the true. If you go and do a little bit of research into some of the sites that are giving a little more truth, you're probably looking at 1 in 5.
1 in 5.
The CDC is saying, I think, 1 in 30 or something like that. It's really a lot worse than
what
they portray.
And what do you think it was like when we were kids? How many, do you remember?
Hang on, let me think. I just read this morning. One in 10,000 when I was born in the 60s.
And I was born in the 60s.
But in the 60s, I received, in my entire, from birth to my 18th birthday, I only received 6 vaccines. Now, in 2013, babies are getting the one at birth, and then 6 vaccines at their second month checkup, 5 vaccines at their fourth month checkup, 7 vaccines at their 6 month checkup.
Wow.
So by the time they're a year old, so before they even hit their first MMR, which is a vaccine that's really getting, is like the tipping point for a lot of kids, MMR, because it's 3-in-1.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these are 2-in-1. Like the IPV is 2-in-1, but by the time a child now in 2013, they've changed this, I think, since in 2014 they added a few more vaccines. So as of 2013, by the time your child is a year old, if you go according to the American schedule, which is, we are the highest vaccinating country on the planet, we also have the highest autism rates. So there's a lot of correlations here. I'm not just crazy.
We also are one of the lowest ranking developed world countries as far as healthcare. Mm-hmm. We don't, you know, there are countries that rate way ahead of us.
So you get 20 shots by the time you're a year old, and some of those shots have more than one shot in them.
20 shots. Now, see, what I've read before, and is there any truth to this? Because you're the expert on this.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm the expert.
So they changed somewhere in the 80s, according to this article that I read, they changed the way and they increased the number at one time. And that took place in the 80s. And that's when we saw a big change in the rate of autism.
In 1983
is when they started.
They started changing. I think they started combining more vaccines so they could get more in there, get more in the children at each visit.
And so this is when we started to see, maybe not right away because the research wasn't there, but parents had to be seeing this, these great changes, and wondering what's going on.
The and if you look at, and there's a really good video out there. I watched it. I watched this 2 days ago by recommendation of one of my doctor friends who doesn't vaccinate. Dr. Russell Blaylock, B-L-A-Y-L-O-C-K. He has an hour-long video, and he actually goes into detail and explains what happens when that vaccine enters your bloodstream. He talks about it on a completely different level than what I've ever heard. Hmm. And, I mean, actually, if you read a vaccine insert, actually read the vaccine insert. What's in the vaccines? The pediatricians are supposed to tell parents what's in a vaccine and ask you a bunch of questions before you agree to a vaccine, like, has your child ever had any reactions to this, this, or this? I have yet to hear a parent say to me, well, the pediatrician went over that vaccine insert with me. So they don't even do that. But if you read a vaccine insert and you look at the actual ingredients and then watch at least one video of an actual doctor talking about what happens to the body when that vaccine enters your bloodstream, I'm thinking that should be enough to make you say no.
When you have, now you've noticed this with children, with the vaccines, and they develop autism, but are there those, because of what's in these vaccines and the way they're given, maybe not everybody develops autism, but does it mess with their immune system?
Absolutely. My son would be a classic case. That there's another condition that is linked with vaccine injury called PANDAS, P-A-N-D-A-S, and if you just type PANDAS in, you'll type in PANDAS autoimmune disorder, because that's what it is. It's just a short way to say autoimmune disorder. There's a bunch of other words in there I don't know how to pronounce. But I would say my son falls under the PANDAS category because he doesn't get sick per se now. I mean, we eat organically, very clean, no preservatives, no dyes, no gluten, no dairy. And these are things you have to eliminate if you're going to try and recover your child from autism, because there's like a diet protocol and a supplement protocol if you want to try and reverse some of the damage that the vaccines have done, which I've done with my children and have helped other parents do with their children through my health and wellness practice. So there's this other aspect. It's an autoimmune condition, and it's under the PANDAS, and that's what I would say my son is at. He doesn't get sick, but when he does get sick, his immune system goes into overdrive, and it almost like it attacks. For example, last year he hadn't been sick for years. Never gets a cold, never gets the flu, but all it takes is the wrong trigger, whether it's, I don't know, the weather changed, or I don't know what his triggers really are, but he ended up with a case of strep. When I took him to the ER, they said it was the worst case of strep they had ever seen. They didn't even know what to do with it.
Wow.
And because his immune system went, oh my God, I am now freaking out, and I am going to attack you. And of course, you know, the first line of defense for conventional medicine is, well, we're going to give him antibiotics and we're going to, you know, hopefully that'll, and we don't do antibiotics because that's another big failure in our pharmaceutical world. Antibiotics don't actually work. But herbal medicine, whenever he starts to come down with something, I go right to the herbal medicine and we start working with the herbal medicines or the aromatherapy. He hasn't been on an antibiotic since he was like 2.
That's amazing. And that's what's cool about your story, is that you were able to, not only did you discover what this did to him and start to believe it, is that you were able to find answers to turn him around. And you were telling me that you feel he's really come a long way because of the herbal medicines, right?
Very long way, because at one point he wasn't talking. His speech was delayed. His motor skills were delayed. He was bouncing off the walls. I mean, I literally, if I didn't hold his hand when I would take him into a store, he would take off and I would not find him, because he was just, you know, it's brain inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
And the eczema from head to toe. Didn't potty train till he was five. There was just all these things. But from when I stopped vaccinating at two and started doing the natural approach, which was chelation therapy to get the heavy metals out, because all kids who are vaccine injured have heavy metals, because in the vaccines are aluminum, thimerosal, which is mercury.
Is that used to store the vaccines or what? Or is that just
They use it as a preservative, but you know, the stuff isn't, I mean, really, if you were to drink mercury, if you were to give your kid mercury, you'd get put in jail. But it's okay to inject mercury in a shot by a doctor, right?
Yeah, and supposedly it's there to preserve.
You know. So you have all these ingredients that you have to detox if you decide to try and recover your child.
Because those will not come out easily or naturally out of our body.
No, you have to, I'm going to get my little sheet of paper here. MSG. And that one doctor I pointed out who has a great hour-long video on the process of what happens with the vaccines, he basically talks about what happens when you inject mercury, MSG, and aluminum into a, you know, 6-pound baby with no immune system formed yet. What happens, and why all of these children are eczema'd from head to toe and crying and screaming and either dying from SIDS or, you know, because they don't want to say that SIDS is connected to vaccine injury. But yet if you look at a DTP vaccine insert under the adverse reactions, it says possible SIDS, autism.
Interesting.
Anaphylactic reaction, among a few other things.
So you noticed your son at a very young age, and then how did you take this step into herbal? I mean, you hadn't lived that lifestyle.
Right. Well, I was going to our community college, and I was planning on possibly getting a degree in social work. So once he was, you know, going through all these illnesses, and conventional medicine either was like, okay, we're going to put him on this antibiotic, or we're going to try this and that, and nothing was working. He was getting sicker. And then, you know, the chiropractor's like, hey, take a look at vaccination. So I did, and I went, oh, okay, wait a minute. So I started studying natural medicine. So I was dual enrolled now. So now I'm trying to hold down a job, trying to take care of my sick kid. And the reason why I'm saying it like that is because it can be done. I mean, I'm a single parent. My kid is obviously suffering from vaccine damage, but nobody seems to want to help me in the way I want help. So now I'm going to take it into my own hands, and we're going to get this done. So I started studying herbal medicine first, and it was like another light bulb went off. It was like the light bulb that went off when I looked at the vaccine ingredients. Now another light bulb's going off, going, oh my gosh, there's a whole world out there of alternative medicine that people have been using for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
Conventional medicine's been here for, what, 100? Okay, so I started doing research into detox first, because I thought, okay, if he's got heavy metal damage, from what I've read on the internet, you know, vaccines cause autism, and there's heavy metal, probably heavy metal. So instead of getting him tested for heavy metals, I already assumed he had heavy metal damage, because obviously he'd gotten all these vaccines. So I decided to do some gentle chelation. I bought an EDTA supplement. And back then, at the time, I probably had to do a little bit of research to where I could find one. Now you can just probably go to Vitacost.com and get your EDTA. I mean,
what is EDTA?
EDTA is a chelator. If you take it orally, it pulls the heavy metals out of your body, and it'll be excreted in your urine or your feces.
Oh, and that's a healthy thing you can take?
Yes. You just have to make sure you know your dosages and talk to somebody who can help you with dosages and stuff.
And you're that somebody that can do that.
Yeah. And believe it or not, a very gentle, simple way to detox heavy metals out of the body is to take Epsom salt baths.
You and I were talking about that. And if you don't have a bathtub, just soak your feet?
Right. Okay. Yes. So I started doing Epsom salt baths on my son a couple times a day. I mean, I thought, okay, this is gentle, natural. This will do no harm to his liver, or, you know, because if you're going to do a ton of supplements, you got to be careful, because they got to go through the liver first. So even if you're doing something healthy, you still have to be careful, because you don't want to do any liver damage. So we started with the Epsom salt baths, high doses of vitamin C. I ended up buying a book on vitamin C therapy, because a long time ago, somebody was curing cancer with vitamin C. What happened to those reports? So I found this book on vitamin C therapy and how it kills cancer and how it detoxes the body and how it builds the immune system.
I've always been a believer in vitamin
C. So bingo. So now I started giving my 2 to 3-year-old mega doses of vitamin C.
How much is a mega dose?
10 to 20,000 milligrams
a day.
Yes. Wow. Nothing I would tell my doctor.
And you know, and what I've always heard about vitamin C, and you know, you hear different reports, but that's something that flushes out of your system.
Yes.
Whatever you don't use.
The worst thing that can happen is diarrhea.
And so, unlike other vitamins, I wouldn't recommend.
No, you have to know what you're doing, and at this
vitamin
time,
vitamin C is one of those
vitamin C
that just
yes.
And
you have to know what you're doing, or find an alternative healthcare practitioner.
That's a lot of Flintstones vitamins, by the way.
What they're
that's
doing.
A lot of chewables.
Yeah, here, take a handful.
Here's a whole wheelbarrow.
So we were doing that, and then I decided to also start oregano oil and garlic. And
now, oregano oil, what do you mean?
Oregano oil is an herbal medicine. It is actually considered nature's antibiotic.
An antiseptic and an antibiotic. Are you talking about the oil of oregano oil that is grown in the Mediterranean? You and I have talked about this P73 stuff. I'm sure there's several.
I'm sure it comes from oregano.
Yeah, but here's my research.
Okay, tell me.
There's a man I interviewed down in Chicago. He wrote a book about the cures in the cupboard. And he's been on my show more than once. And he said, there's this wild oregano, and it grows in the Mediterranean, and it is the most powerful antiseptic, natural antiseptic, and antioxidant, and it can be used for many different types of cures. And he said, this is not like the Mexican oregano. He said, this stuff is very potent, and I've had it, and you've probably had it, and when you put it in your mouth, it stings.
Yes, absolutely.
But it doesn't. I've used it for colds.
Yes.
I've rubbed some on my nostrils, and it burns. It burns pretty good, but my cold went poof.
Yes.
I put it into my mouth if I had like a little bit of a toothache,
yes.
which I really don't. But if I had something that was a little sore or sensitive, I put it in there and it cleanses. And so
that's what we used on my son's throat last year during his
even on the outer part. So this is we're talking about basically the. I just want people to be very careful when they look into that because there's probably a lot of
right. And you need to find either get a good.
I
book.
I do know that the P73
or find somebody who knows what they're doing.
Very good stuff. The P73. Yeah. So it, yeah. Otherwise. All you got to do is talk to Tammy. She can steer you in the right direction.
Right. And I do know a lot of people who are doing this with their kids. I mean, when I first started recovering my son, once I got my first degree in natural health, I opened up a little health and wellness business, and I decided to help people one-on-one with their kids. And then I decided to further my education and get a bachelor's in holistic health. And that took a few years. And that encompasses, you know, aromatherapy, essential oils, healing benefits of that, vitamin, mineral, nutrition. I mean, you have to know what you're doing
right.
if you're going to start doing this with your child, because you will not get help from the conventional medicine world. You will not. You will have to find either a naturopathic doctor or a holistic doctor, and they're usually out of pocket because insurance doesn't like to cover preventative medicine. I found that out very early.
You would think they'd want to. Because the rates would be lower if we had preventive instead of waiting until it becomes something.
Yeah, but this is the USA. They want everyone to be sick.
And we're going to talk about
because there's money in pharmaceuticals.
There's money to be
and
made.
And in vaccines. Yeah. There's money to be made there. So so I started the detox. And it's a long process. You have to be committed. It's not something that, you know, okay, I'm going to start a detox and get you on some high vitamin C and some B vitamins and glutathione and all these other brain nutrients that the vaccines kind of took away. Get this neurological system rebuilt. Because through the years, I've found parents get impatient because they just want their life back. Well, yeah, better get ready to have patience.
Mm.
I really didn't see strides with Alex until first and second grade. And now, mind you, he didn't have the vaccine schedule we got going on now.
Right. He didn't
so have kids are not only getting damaged quicker, it takes longer to recover them from vaccine damage. That's besides the fact that I'm seeing this huge surge of people getting aware, but I'm also seeing that the quicker parents wake up, the better, because if you wait until they've had, you know, 30 vaccines, it's that much harder if you want to get some of that skill back that they lost through the poison. So what took me 3 years might take somebody 5 years to accomplish, if at all, because, you know, mercury is a neurological damager. I mean, it damages the myelin sheath that's on your neurons, and sometimes you can rebuild that. I'm one of the lucky ones. I've seen other awesome cases, but just with the current schedule, I'm thinking it's going to take a little longer for people if they want to go, if they want to say, okay, I'm going to stop vaccinating, and now we're going to try and heal this child.
You really,
so you have to be very patient, and you have to be diligent, and you have to be committed to...
You have to be strong to and strong-willed because, well, maybe not as bad. I'm sure it's still bad today, but everybody that's an authority is going to tell you otherwise, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
Especially when you started this, you were pretty much by yourself.
Pretty much. It seemed like I was either arguing with doctors, teachers, daycares, you know, because if you don't keep them up on their shots, then you're getting told, well, you have to get this and this and this. But what they don't tell you is there's a waiver. And this is where I'd really wish chiropractors would be a little bit more educational with their clients, because they get taught in chiropractic school not to vaccinate for a reason. And if they would be just maybe a little bit more aggressive, and I don't mean be out there.
It takes, you know, if you're trying to start a business.
Right. But a little more aggressive with their clients one-on-one and say, hey, you know, you have an exemption form in this town or in this city, whatever, saying all you have to do is sign it and say, I'm not vaccinating. You know, the rules are changing across the board. More and more states are trying to get people's exemptions taken away. So the more we stand up now, the better we'll get to keep our rights. Because they like to pass laws underneath our noses and say, oh, now this has changed, and nobody approved that.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll see these, they'll have commercials for vaccinate your child now for cancer they could get when they're older. And I see these and I think, why would you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we believe if you give them this vaccine, how is that going to prevent it? And everything I know about cancer, now granted there are diseases can be caused from the outside as well, but just about every disease is caused from the inside out. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts, your feelings, and we're going to give you, what are you going to make people unemotional so they don't, they're always happy, so they never get sick? I'm letting go of all my past lives and all this other stuff that I'm hanging on to or whatever. It's like, why are they doing this? What, in your opinion, Tammy, why would you do this to your own people? Is it just pure greed?
Oh, I think it's multi. I think there's levels, and it's multi
control
reasons. They want to keep us dumb. They want to keep us sick. And sure, it's about greed. I mean, I think, especially if you do a little research into what our country does compared to other countries.
Yes. That's good.
Pharmaceuticals and vaccines and fluoride and all the stuff we do to keep people sick, other countries are not doing that. Not to the level we're doing it.
You know, in Oregon, I read this recently, in Portland and Oregon as well, they refused to have fluoride in their water. I think it was relatively recently.
That's recent. So there are some states
waking
up. And what does
fluoride do? What do you know about fluoride?
Oh, I wish I had the report in front of me. If you go to fluoridefacts.org, you're going to find out all kinds of stuff about fluoride. Fluoride is a neurotoxin, another neurotoxin. It messes with the pineal gland, which is your third eye and your head, you know, there, that thing that helps you be intuitive and see things and be aware. There's been studies done that fluoride pretty much dumbs you. It lowers your IQ.
Does it have anything to do with Alzheimer's? I saw a report. Have you seen that at all?
It would make sense to me. I've never seen the report, I don't think, but it would make sense to me because it's right up there with neurotoxins like aluminum and mercury.
Okay.
Because anything that messes with your neurology can give you Parkinson's, Alzheimer's. They're all related. If you look at all the diseases we have going on, they all kind of are related in some way, shape, or form to a toxin. That is, either we're eating, it's in our air, or we're injecting in our body.
Hmm.
I mean, it's huge when you look at it that way.
The odds are not looking so good for us, but we have options. You know, we're not helpless, and we do have alternative sources we can turn to. On my show alone, I've talked about how people have healed from major diseases, and I have uncovered in the last 15 years or so, probably more 10 years, I would say, but I've uncovered so many alternative natural health things that are just amazing that people can turn to. For many, many different types of ailments. And there's a lot of companies out there, they don't come out and advertise it too much because they get a target on their back.
Right.
But people have found them
right.
and like, have taken yes. their products.
Yes. I'm trying to think of the, there was two recent, there's a medicine the FDA just approved. It has a natural component to it. I've got to think about this for a minute because I just read it and I just wanted to beat my head off the wall because I'm like, okay, on a vitamin label, it has to say, you know, they give all these warnings on a vitamin label. By the FDA in this country, you have to go through some process and you have to label your vitamins a certain way, not to diagnose, treat, or cure. You can't have that on the label of your vitamin. And not to be taken, I think it says, you know, if you're pregnant or blah, 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 blah. It could be something that's going to help that. But, you know, these vitamin companies have to write this stuff on their labels in order to sell it. But yet, the pharmaceutical company can take, and I think it's some fish oil, or I want to say they're taking some essential fatty acid from somewhere in nature, whether it's flaxseed or fish oil, and they synthesized it with some pharmaceutical drug, and now they're marketing it as a anti-inflammatory. Mm-hmm. But they can do that.
Right.
No warrant, no drug warning, no, mm-hmm. you know, don't take this. But if you are marketing a vitamin... Mm-hmm. or anything natural. It's mm-hmm. the same with organic farming. The process to get your farm labeled organic is exhausting. But if you want to spray pesticides on your farm, no one bats an eye.
Hmm.
Shouldn't it be the other way around?
It should be. It should
if
be.
If you want to spray pesticides on your food you're going to sell for human consumption, don't you think you should be, I don't know. I think that should be legal, actually. And it is in some countries. I mean...
You know, they tend to be, like in Europe, they and maybe because there's a coalition of the workers, I don't know if that makes a difference, but I know that there's a European workers union. Maybe that helps the people have more power. I don't know why it's different in Europe, because I'm mm-hmm. sure the leaders are no different, mm-hmm. and the companies, mm-hmm. but for some reason, they don't push the GMOs like we...
No, and a lot of them are standing up and saying no GMOs.
And so... And what effect do you think GMOs? What do you know about that?
Okay, well, GMOs are genetically modified organisms. And let's take corn, for example, because it is like the highest genetically modified food we have in the
United
States.
And they modified these so that they would grow better and the insects
right.
and all these things,
yes,
right?
So we're going to take a piece of corn. We're going to take a corn seed and we're going to splice it with the DNA of some chemical or insect. And we're going to splice that in there now. So we're going to turn what... corn, and we're going to turn it into some bio something something that is resistant to insects eating it. And what it does to the actual insect, if the insect tries to eat it, is the insect dies. The stomach of the insect bursts. I've read this. The insect actually dies by eating this corn. Okay, so, but it's going to be safe for humans to consume this?
Hmm. Do you know anybody that's planted that stuff? Do you know anybody personally? There's a
woman.
No,
but I think it's pretty much any corn you buy in the store that doesn't say organic is GMO now.
There's a woman that I work with here, and she has a farm. And her husband, they were talking him into planting some of this GMO corn.
Mm-hmm.
And she was told by her husband, don't touch that stuff with your bare hands.
Mm-hmm.
The seeds.
Isn't that crazy? Think about that. Humans can be so smart, but yet we're so dumb.
Because we are so brainwashed to believe, you know, those in a position of authority, and everything we see on television or here.
Yeah, quit watching TV.
Here on a radio station, network-wise, our people that are positions of authority. I've had people on my show before. There was a doctor out of New York. He was a natural doctor. And he said he went and spoke at Cornell University. Now, I really didn't know this doctor, so I always kind of approach it. If I don't know the person, and you know, I keep an open mm-hmm. mind to what they're saying, it might be the truth, but I don't ever want to misrepresent that. But he told me, he seemed like a very intelligent man. He talked about a lot of natural things and vitamins and things. But he said he spoke at, I think it was at Cornell or one of those major universities, and he said the people, what blew him away, he said that these people that were studying to become doctors weren't taught about how to treat an illness. They were just memorizing what drugs to give somebody when they get sick.
Because
that's changed.
Because the medical school is owned by the pharmaceutical companies. Mm. Conventional medicine school is owned by the pharmaceutical companies, so they write the books, the textbooks, on what they want people to learn in medical school.
And it used to be different, didn't it? There was mm-hmm. a time, I'm sure you remember, when mm-hmm. a doctor would come to your house,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm not saying doctors, if you're a doctor and you're listening, I am not bashing anybody. I'm just, you live long enough, mm-hmm. you see changes.
Mm-hmm.
If you live long enough, you see the way it used to be. And if we got sick, we might have got something, but it wasn't this drug that overwhelmed you. I think there was even a time when the FDA was more critical of drugs.
Yes.
And they had to be on the market for like 10 years.
Right. But that's now they're pushing things through like...
A lot quicker.
Right.
And then they give you all mm-hmm. the warning side effects mm-hmm. on the commercials. At least they're doing that. But it's like, why would I want to take these?
I know.
If I have a little acid indigestion, I'll live with it. And there's something natural I can do that's probably could get rid of it. But, well, it may cause your arm to fall off. You'll grow a second head.
I have seen a shift in doctors waking up. They get put under a lot of pressure, though, especially those that want to kind of practice alternative medicine while they're being a doctor. They get put under a lot of pressure because, you know, they're getting paid by the people that taught them what they're supposed to believe and treat with and teach. And then the ones that want to venture out have to be really careful because one of the holistic docs I have in my corner, he went to MD school. You know, he's a medical doctor, but then he went back and got his alternative degree in naturopath. And so, you know, he flies under the radar. I mean,
I guess I maybe should get him on sometime, but mm-hmm. how does he feel about this? Doesn't he feel like he was betrayed?
Well, yeah.
And does he promote any of the...
Not if he doesn't have to, no. He actually has other doctors who have trained underneath him. You know, he's a wonderful guy. He's had other doctors trained underneath him to learn his way. So he's, you know, he's one of those guys where I'm going, we need to clone you because we need more doctors like you who are willing to step outside that, what I'm taught in medical school and learn all this other stuff about alternative health and then teach other doctors who are up and coming. And I've noticed a little bit more of a wake up than when Alex was two. I mean, when he was two and I had questions, I would get looked at like I was crazy and shut down. But it's kind of like they have to pay attention because there's more and more parents going into the doctor's office now saying, I'm going to opt out of this vaccine or I'm not going to do that. And they ask questions.
You know, it's like it used to be, I remember being a kid and even a young adult, we go into these people and we treat them like they're gods, and they should not be treated that way.
No.
You are basically hiring them mm-hmm. to maintain your health. You have the right, and I even did a show about this, stand up,
yes.
ask questions.
You have a right.
Walk out the door if you don't
yes.
agree with what you're being told. And we see this over and over again with whatever disease that people get, and they go and get a diagnosis, and maybe they get a second one, and they take it as gospel. Mm-hmm. And what they miss out on is that there are mm-hmm. many alternative choices.
And I've told many of my clients that, because most of my clients have kids that, you know, they want to raise naturally. I say, if your doctor gives you any slack and doesn't want to actually listen to you, what you want to do with your child, find another doctor right now. Mm. Just, you know, because most, you know, doctors, they want to push the vaccines and they want to push, you know, doing things their way. So, you know, in order to get them to own up to maybe being an actual doctor, more and more parents need to stand up and say, well, if you're not going to listen to me, then I guess I'm going to find another doctor. Maybe that'll force them into thinking a little bit about...
You ever tried to present some of these things that you've dug up as facts to... Have you ever gotten into it with doctors and talked to them about it?
Yes.
And what kind of response did you get? Not a good one?
Not a good one. And that would be in... That's not in recent years. I mean, I'm lucky enough now since Alex was, because he's 16, I think he was 12 when I found the holistic doc that we have kind of like on the side. And then we have his family doctor who kind of trained under the alternative doctor. So, I mean, I haven't had any issues in the last 3 to 4 years. I've got really, you know, but it took a long time to find someone who's on the same page. But when he was younger and I was first going through this, I fought with everybody. You know, you'd go in for his checkup, and they'd be like, well, is he getting any immunizations today? No. Well, why not? Because I'm not doing it. And then before you leave, do you sure you don't want that shot? No. It was very frustrating.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm the one who's dumb. It's like, no, I'm not the one who's dumb here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then teachers and daycares.
What about
you know?
The school system? Is that still, has that opened up a little bit?
A little bit. Fortunately, in Escanaba, I'm friends with the school nurse, and she's pretty much open. She's not completely open, but she's willing to be okay with exemptions. She's got a little bit of alternative health education under her belt, so she might be the school nurse, but she's probably one of the most open school nurses I've ever met.
So do you think, you know, you look back at these vaccinations, we go back in history, do you think a lot of that was created to scare the public, you know, like, or that they weren't accurate? You know, I've heard reports about how the polio vaccine really maybe doesn't prevent polio and different things that we've had throughout different time periods. Some of them maybe worked. I don't know.
From what I've researched and from what I've talked about with some doctors in the field who have been researching vaccines, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, the polio epidemic was actually caused by the polio vaccine. They want to give polio, the polio vaccine, because there's this, you know, there's that covering it up again. There's, okay, everybody thinks polio was eradicated by the polio vaccine. Actually, after the polio vaccine was introduced, the polio rates actually went way up. And people argue, you know, well, we're healthier since vaccines. What really made us healthier? Because actually, we're getting sicker now. We are not getting healthier. We are getting sicker. What made us healthier there for a while was clean water, better hygiene. Because if you go back and you actually look at records and charts, and I mean, plague, it takes digging.
If you look at the plague, how that was spread,
right?
Hygiene.
We're cleaner. We there's hygienic. There's brushing your teeth. There's eating better. There's clean water, especially the clean water, without the fluoride, of course. That is actually where we started getting healthier. The introduction of vaccines actually, I think, you know, when we were only getting 1, 2, 3, or 4, it was still under the radar on how dangerous they were. But as, obviously, as we're going into this, you know, 36 shots before you're 3, we are now one of the sickest. We have the highest infant mortality rate. I mean, come on, we're one of the richest countries in the world, and we supposedly can feed our people, but yet our kids are dying quicker than anyone else, quicker than kids in Africa. I might be exaggerating that a little bit, but I'm trying to make a point. Our kids are sicker than countries who are poorer than us. What does that mean?
It means something's not right with our healthcare system, and like I mentioned earlier, we are not even in the top 20, I don't believe, worldwide as far as...
We're 34 or 36. 34, 36.
Yeah. So what is it? It tells you that
30 plus countries are healthier than us.
That our healthcare system is not working. And this is not to offend anybody or to jump on anybody, but it's to point out things that I think a lot of us see as obviously going on. My show, I never want to bash anybody. I'm not here to do that.
Right. Education.
And, you know, I think, you know, my show is about enlightening people, getting to see things, and you don't. And you really have to do it with love. You know, sometimes we're angry and we don't want to do it with love.
Right.
But in the end.
Yeah, I'm doing this with great intention to save babies. Right. I want to save. I said this to the girl I was talking to on Monday because she said, so you don't want to practice health and wellness anymore? Because I had made the comment that, you know, I'm really, I get exhausted when people come to me with their vaccine injured children because I've been doing this for 10 plus years. I said, it's not that I don't want to see those children and help the parents recover their children. What I would like to shift into is that not happening anymore and me helping these parents prevent vaccine injury. I had two parents last year that I helped deliver their babies, and they did the whole, I went through the whole, let's do a birth plan, because, you know, if you're not going to vaccinate, you have to have a birth plan. You have to have all your doctors and midwives, everybody on board, so when you go into labor, who's ever in that, if you decide to do a hospital birth, who's ever in there knows your stance. So I would like, you know, I'd like to see my world shift where I go from, okay, your child is vaccine injured, this is what we can do, these are the steps we need to take to try and recover your child, to people coming to me and saying, you know what, I don't want to vaccinate, so what can I do to prevent that from happening. Okay, let's do that.
That's, yeah, probably the best way to go about doing it, because you're not even taking the chance. And it's mm-hmm. really about educating people mm-hmm. and making them aware and hearing your message, which is what we're doing now. And what is your website if people want to... You have a website.
Oh, you mean my website that's down right now because I'm going to change it?
Okay, well then let's not even talk. How can people find out more about you or what you have to say?
The best way is to friend me on Facebook.
Okay.
I am there a lot.
Okay.
I actually started my Facebook page because of autism. I had met. Well, I'm also on GenerationRescue.org. I'm a rescue angel through the GenerationRescue.org. organization. They help put on the Autism One conference in Chicago every year. That's 5 days long, that has doctors from all over the world speaking about what we're doing to our children and how we can change it. It's a wonderful conference. You can find me at generationrescue.org. If you type in my name under Rescue Angels, you could my Facebook page or my LinkedIn account. Mostly Facebook. I'm there every day in the morning and at night because I have 400 some parents that I communicate with daily, weekly, monthly.
Are these people from all over the world?
All over the world. Oh. Yeah.
So that's a lot of responsibility to...
You know, just to get the message out there and to help. And I do Skype and... But oh. Until I rebuild... I took my website down because I want to tweak it and rebuild it, and then we'll get new business cards and... I mean, my business is called Integrative Health Services. You can find that.
And people can order herbal products from you?
Mm-hmm.
Or at least just get advice on what
direct... Yeah, or at least I can direct them where to go, because there's certain sites you can go to, and if you set up your own account, you get a cheaper deal than if you buy them through me. And I'm all about helping people save money.
Right. But if you can make a couple bucks, because you got a lot on your plate... Then more power to you.
Well, that too, but hey.
More power to you.
I know what it's like to be broke and trying to afford supplements.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too, is like you find organic food is a lot more expensive.
Yes, but if you are going to, you know, spend a little more to stay healthy, then you don't get sick.
And perhaps you can grow it yourself.
Right. Have a little garden in your backyard like I do in town, here in town.
You can do some of that. Maybe that can find another way to get around it. And I think also a lot, too, has to do with... is your attitude in life in general.
Absolutely.
So we are going to ingest, you know, because people are going to hear it and be freaked out and go, oh my goodness, the air I'm breathing, you know, everything.
Put on your mask. No, I'm joking.
Well, and the thing is, if you let all this stuff get to you, it's going to make you sick.
Yes.
Thinking about that. Yes. So my point on it is, attitude is just about everything. And so if you know, I don't know if you and I talked about this, but I've talked about it many times before. If you're not eating food that you think maybe is the healthiest food, blessing your food, putting good energy mm-hmm. into it can make a world of difference.
It can, yes.
So those of you maybe that don't have access to that, you can heal or you can at least...
I always tell people if you can't, there's certain things you can't afford, or if you're, you know, having a week where you just want to pig out on absolutely everything that's bad for you, like I do during Christmas... At least take some vitamins.
Take some vitamins, but also have a good attitude towards whatever it is you're about to bless this food.
Yes, bless this food.
And it's a simple thing to say, whether you believe in God or not, just say bless.
But attitude is huge.
It is.
Because otherwise you get sick. I mean.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think also what we find, and again, this goes back to major disease, I think, is that our attitude is what really eventually makes us sick. With serious disease, when the body's not in balance,
right?
The body's going to send you a message.
Well, health is so dimensional. There's like 7 dimensions of wellness, or 9 dimensions of wellness, or something.
We also live in this time of chaos.
Yes,
and it's deliberate chaos, and people, and there's a shift going on in the planet. So we got all these things going on, and people are feeling frustrated or anxious, or they're feeling. Fear, because we don't know what the economy is going to do. Are there going to be jobs? And we really have to, and this is what so many people that come on my show will say, step away from that, let it go, feel good as much as you can, don't worry about things, find peace every day if you mm-hmm. can, if you have to meditate a little bit, or just have some alone time. People don't want to meditate, then have some alone time, quiet time. And when if you can find that way to center yourself and stay in that frame of mind, your immune system is going to work a heck of a lot better. even if you're not necessarily taking...
If I would have had those tools when I first started going on this autism journey with Alex, I wouldn't have ended up getting sick, because that's the other thing. Parents... Oh my gosh!
Caretakers,
when you, in general, it's like post-traumatic stress disorder. Autism parents have a form of post-traumatic stress disorder. I mean, think about it. Your kid is injured, and you realize it. Now, what are you going to do to fix it? Fight or flight. And the tools that I do now to cope with just craziness—if I would have had some of those tools, like meditation, Reiki, aromatherapy, talking to friends, even seeking therapy, someone to just air your stuff to—I didn't have those tools. If I would have had those tools, I'm thinking I would have been a little better off through this journey. But I have those tools now, and I'm a pretty happy person.
How was your health during that time period? Was it?
It was not good.
Okay.
No.
And so you
the
look
stress
at,
of it put me into adrenal and thyroid issues. And I'm mothers who have gone through this autism journey, pretty much everyone I've talked to has said, yeah, my thyroid crapped out. Well, yeah, because you're stressed out.
And I look at also other people dealing with other issues. Let's say you're a caretaker for somebody with Alzheimer's, mm-hmm. which is very testing. I've seen people get really sick after they were taken care of. And I mean, cancerous or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so keeping that balance, and it's got to be so tough going through it. But those simple little things you can do, and again, like you say, the supplements. We're just about out of time, and I know you probably could talk for 6 years.
Something like that.
So you want to come you want to come back again and tell me more?
Absolutely.
Is there anything you want to cover real quick before we wrap this up?
There's hope. That's what I tell parents. There's hope. Once there's five stages. It's like a grief. There's like five stages of this autism. You know, you go through denial and anger, and I can't remember all the stages, but there's hope. The sooner you wake up and realize that vaccines are not good, and there's other ways to protect your immune system naturally, the better. But waking up at any point and saying, okay, I'm going to stop this. Now I need to know what to do. And there's hope.
You know what we don't know is our history, because I think that also has been misrepresented. And you look at the ancient indigenous and even native cultures and how they healed themselves and still do, the ones that are truly connected to it. And they can lead healthy lives without disease, and they overcome it. So if that's, to me, is just a natural way that we were intended to mm-hmm. live, we had the knowledge.
Everything
that we needed was provided for us in nature, and also the balance that we have within ourselves. And somewhere along the way, we lost that. And somebody said, hey, I got an idea.
Who said that? Who said that great phrase? Let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. Is that Hippocrates?
I don't know.
See, I forget who said what and where, because I read so much and do so much research, my brain gets overloaded. But somebody said that.
Yeah, I'm
and
sure.
And that's true.
Right.
And that's nature.
Absolutely. And there's so many things, so many stories. If people start looking around, you can find somebody that has a story to share. If you don't believe what Tammy is telling you, I'm sure there's tons of evidence out there, tons of people.
Oh, they can just look me up and we can talk.
Yeah. and also they can research for themselves.
Yes, I can send them sites.
People need to empower themselves. We have been put in a, almost like a slave.
Yes, I think so.
Slavery to medicine, and it's because we haven't empowered. We've allowed somebody else to do it for us.
Mm-hmm.
So really, we're kind of guilty of that, right? Generations mm-hmm. before us, our grandparents, mm-hmm. they knew.
They did.
Well, you take a little tonic here and blah, blah, blah.
There was a huge shift between my grandparents and my parents. I don't know what happened. My grandparents were where I'm headed. My parents were all about processed food
and the way they treated disease.
Weird. Yes.
You go back
doctors and doctors.
They would say, well, you take a little herb here, herbal this, or tree bark here, or whatever.
Yeah.
And I wish I would have paid attention to those people that, well, now you still have them. You have them, you can search them out and find them. Native cultures still have answers to a lot of things.
The native cultures, they know what's going on.
Well, Tammy, I'm really glad I got to meet you. And I really
glad to be here.
I really like what you have to say, your message, and I give you kudos for having the courage,
because
it takes that, doesn't it?
It does.
To stand up and
it's time.
Speak Your Truth.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if somebody wants to find out more about Tammy, you can check her out on Facebook. And she'll be glad to help as many people as she can. So keep up the good work.
Thanks.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.